Kent Online News.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. Nicola Everett.
Hello, hope you're okay. Thanks ever so much for downloading today's podcast. It's Tuesday, October the 7th, coming up. We find out if retailers are sticking to the rules around vapes. Here the moment, a man was arrested after driving 20 miles to abuse a child. And in football, Gillingham are in EFL Trophy action tonight. We'll be hearing from one of the players. But first, taking a look at our top story today, a Dover woman has been detained in a psychiatric unit after randomly attacking a stranger in the street with a kitchen knife. The victim was taken to a London hospital for treatment after she was stabbed in the back while walking down Biggin Street in January. Security staff at a nearby club reacted quickly to warn the victim and stop the attack. Here, you can listen to audio from their body-worn cameras.
Watch out behind you! Watch out behind you!
For the knife! Drop the knife.
Thank you. Happy Valentine. Bye, Polly.
47-year-old Natasha Zakruska from Salisbury Road will be subject of a hospital order until she's no longer considered a danger.
Kent Online News.
A teenager's due to go on trial after denying possessing a firearm and knife in a park in Tunbridge Wells. The 18-year-old appeared at Maidstone Crown Court via video link yesterday following an incident at Woodlands Park last month. He's due to face a jury in February next year. A man's been arrested by police investigating a car fire in Northfleet. Emergency crews were called to Gainsborough Drive last Friday morning and found the BMW M5 alight. Nearby doorbell camera footage has revealed the moment it went up in flames. A 35-year-old from Gravesend has been released on bail. A Maidstone man has been sent to prison for a string of offences, including threatening to blow up Canterbury Cathedral. Hayden Day sent abusive and threatening messages to his former partner and assaulted two police officers while being arrested in Canterbury. The 28-year-old from Week Street has been locked up for 2 years and 3 months. And a woman who hit a man with her car in a road rage attack near Sittingbourne has been jailed. Lauren Willis got into an argument with the victim at a petrol station and left him with facial injuries at a roundabout on the A249 at Bobbing. The 28-year-old from Wollaston Close in Gillingham has been locked up for 3.5 years. Now, the Kent Online podcast has been told 90% of retailers in Tunbridge Wells have complied with new rules around single-use vapes since they were introduced back in June. And that's actually 10% higher than in other parts of the county. The town was the first in Kent to take part in a local vape action scheme where experts work with shops. Kate's been talking to Jim Widdett, who's from Kent County Council's Trading Standards.
The LBA's looking at several different aspects. So obviously one of the key points is responsible retailing, and that means not supplying to children, and it also means supplying legal vapes. So because of the LBA and because we can build up that positive relation with retailers, we can support them. So if they haven't got a Challenge 25 policy, we can talk to them about it. If they haven't got a refusals book, we can explain to them the benefits of doing that. And that will, of course, safeguard children. But then we also then spend a lot of time talking to the retailers about the changes in the legislation. So when the single-use vape ban came in June, we were obviously already engaged with those businesses so they could safeguard themselves and make sure they were only buying genuine vapes. And because of all that positive work in Tunbridge Wells, we then started a second LBA in Ashford. And that's beginning to progress and that's beginning to gather momentum. And because we can see these positives, we're actually looking early communications with another area in the county, which hopefully in the new year we should be able to maybe launch another LBA as well, because it's positive.
Do we know whereabouts that area in the county might be?
Come back and talk to me after Christmas and I'll let you know. But it's a really good engagement process. So some of the work that we're doing in Ashford, it allows us to, again, support those genuine retailers. And because we're out doing this work, we can then actually identify those people who maybe aren't as genuine as some of the others. So it allows us to then deal with those people differently. So we can look with enforcement powers across the partnership and see if we can bring those people to compliance. So those people who are doing it right, we can support and get them to, you know, be responsible. And those who aren't, well, there's other options that we can do.
Can you tell me a little bit more about the activities and I suppose sort of investments that you've been doing in the community? You mentioned talking going out to schools, I think, like that, and having pop-up events. Can you tell me about how the community have been engaged and been part of the process?
Tunbridge Wells has been really, really proactive, and they've, as part of some of their engagement weeks that they would run normally, they've invited us as partners in the LBA into. They sometimes rent out a shop in the high street, as it were, and then people can go in and they can talk about anything. So there'll be lots of different agencies there. So, as Trading Standards, we've been there supporting the LBA, and then members of the public can come in and can have that kind of conversation where we can explain to them about vapes. We've got this great engagement thing. It's a vape board. And if you come along, we can talk you through it and you can see which ones are genuine, which ones aren't, and what's wrong with them. And because the LVA is beginning to get a bit of a presence in the marketplace, myself and a colleague actually went to an engagement day at a college in Thanet. And that's because they'd seen the work that the LVA did. So we went and we spent 3 or 4 hours engaging with the young people at the college. And again, that vape board explained to people, how they can safeguard themselves, what vapes they should buy and the vapes that they shouldn't buy. And that's part of the work that the LVA is allowing us to do, is to reach out to those people in the communities. And it's just that much easier when you've got something that local retailers can look to get support as well. And it's not just an enforcement people telling them what they should do.
Kent Online reports.
Four Conservative members of Gravesham Borough Council have defected to Reform UK. Emma Elliott, Aaron Elliott, Gary Harding and David Beattie have released a joint statement today saying the Conservative Party is over and only Reform can deliver change. It's as Kemi Badenoch continues to face questions about her position as Tory leader. A man's been arrested following a crash involving a BMW and lorry on the M20. It happened on the London-bound carriageway near Folkestone last Tuesday afternoon. Investigators say they want to hear from anyone who saw the black car, which is thought to have travelled from the harbour area. A 32-year-old has been bailed. A man who drove from Dartford to Maidstone to meet a child he'd been sending explicit messages to on Snapchat has been jailed. Simon Hancock had arranged a meeting in February but was intercepted by police, who spotted his van being repeatedly driven in and out of a car park. Police body cam footage captured the moment he was arrested.
You're under arrest at the minute under Section 15. I have engaged in sexual communication with a child under the Sexual Offences Act 2003. You're also under arrest under Section 14, arranging, facilitating the commission of a child sex offence under the Sexual Offences Act 2003.
The 47-year-old, who doesn't have a permanent address, has been locked up for 3 years. Plans to reduce the speed limit on a road in Sheerness have been approved following a U-turn by the County Council. A bid was submitted for Marine Parade to go from 40 to 30 miles per hour in July last year following a number of crashes. It was previously rejected, but local councillors kept campaigning and it's now been confirmed the limit will be lowered to help improve safety.
Kent Online reports.
Now, a Kent charity says Ellie Goldstein's appearance on Strictly is showing the world what people with disabilities can achieve. Before taking to the dance floor this season, Ellie made history by becoming the first model with Down syndrome to feature in British Vogue. We Are Beams provides support for children and young people with disabilities in North Kent. And I've been chatting to Luke Cashin, who's from the group.
Like anyone with needs that our young people can resonate with, it's really important to see what those barriers can be broken down. And funny enough, I only said at the weekend, this wouldn't have happened 10 years ago, and that's incredible in the work we do, that we can see that change, and that change is coming, and that's really, really important to the young people and the families we support.
Is it all about visibility as well, to make things normal? Like, why shouldn't someone like Ellie be on Strictly, like anybody else? I mean, you shouldn't differentiate,
should you? Precisely. And I think also it's recognizing that Ellie's journey to get to Strictly is a lot harder than others, and it's understanding those barriers, understanding those those extra hurdles she's maybe come through. And for our young people, it's, you know, we say about diversification and diversity and what you see on the telly, etc. And actually, for a young person with Down syndrome, like Beatrice here, is seeing someone that looks like her, that, you know, sounds like her, that she can resonate with is really important. Because I think sometimes in environments where you don't see people that look like you or sound like you, then you sort of assume that that isn't a place for you. And actually, you know, people like Ellie are breaking those barriers down and saying, you know, nothing stops you from achieving what you can achieve. You just got to believe in yourself, really.
Do you think it's, because I remember when my daughter's 16 now, when she was younger, we used to watch an awful lot of programs with the likes of Mr. Tumble, for example, doing Makaton and things like that. And there was that acceptance from a very young age from my daughter that everyone was different. And like, she would learn Makaton and she would maybe see children with SEND on the telly. But as you get older, that kind of disappears a little bit. So do you think it's, we need to make sure that that pushes through mainstream media more as children grow up?
Yeah, and I think there's a responsibility for media outlets to make sure that that is visible in what they're doing. I think as an organisation, we're pushing for representation, especially in the disability world, because as you say, it shouldn't just stop as, you know, when you're a child that it's possible. Actually, there's young people that are in their early adulthood, and also young, older people that are in their, you know, that are, you know, older, that are wanting to achieve things, that actually, again, if they can visualize that and see that in the public domain, it makes it more real. And I think we all as a society have a responsibility to make that happen. And it's something that I know that, talking from a charity that works in that sector and with those young people, it's something that we really care about wanting to push and keep pushing. You know, we look at, I say we're 30 years old this year. The world was a very different place 30 years ago than where we are today. And that's amazing. But I firmly believe that we can still be better. And that's what we will always push to do, so that every young person or anyone with any needs or disabilities understands that, you know, the ceiling's the only, their ceiling is what they accept, and it shouldn't be what society accepts.
Ellie is partnered with Vito for this series of the show. You'll be able to see them back in action on our TVs on Saturday. A wheelchair user from Chatham is calling for better access to a Starbucks store after he was left waiting outside for 10 minutes. Charlie Wallace says the outlet at Chatham Dockside has heavy doors he can't open himself, and staff aren't always around to help him inside. The coffee chain have apologised and say they're working with the licensee to address the issue. Residents on a housing estate in Maidstone are welcoming new parking charges, which will see visitors paying £50 for 1 hour. It's claimed parking bays at Springfield Park were being monopolised by drivers who don't live in the area. The management company is hoping the higher fees will act as a deterrent. Well, we'd love to know what you think about this story today. You can leave a comment at Kent Online or via our socials. And a new building's opened at Kent Hospital to help medical students during their training. The six-storey block at Tunbridge Wells Hospital will allow undergraduates to stay nearby while they're on placement. It means the Trust will be able to help train six times as many students, with 173 trainees passing through each year.
Kent Online News.
Concerns have been raised about plans to build luxury homes on a cliff near Folkestone that's prone to landslides. Developers want to demolish a small abandoned house on Radnercliffe in Sandgate to make way for two new properties and a holiday let. Architects say they want to make the most of the beachfront landscape, but neighbours say the ground isn't stable enough. Families have started moving into new council homes that have been acquired by bosses in Dover. 23 properties on Sandwich Road in Sheldon have been made available for residents whose needs aren't met by the housing market. They're a mix of affordable rented homes and shared ownership to help people get on the property ladder. Now, a mum from Walderslade says she was inspired to take up a new career in funeral arranging following the death of her baby. Delphine Craig went into early labour with her son and sadly lost him at around 21 weeks back in 2006. Despite working for 13 years as a martial arts teacher, the 47-year-old is now working at the Co-op Funeral Care in Sittingbourne High Street. She's been speaking to reporter Cara Simmons about how she felt when the job opportunity came up.
2-3 years ago, it kind of resurfaced, and I thought, I really, really want to try. And I made the phone call, got through the first bits, was like, oh, this is brilliant, okay. And I thought, you know what, if I don't try, I'll never know. And then I got the interview, went for the interview, and I was just successful in getting this role. And it is literally, I think, probably one of the best jobs I think I've got. I mean, it's not really a job. You can't really call it a job. It's something you want to do. You want to help people in their most difficultest and hardest times that they'll ever face. And it's just really being there for them. Because sometimes you come to do the arrangement and obviously you've got your paperwork you've got to do. But you can't just go, oh, I've got this. You need to speak to them. And they want to talk. They want to speak to you about their loved ones. And you want to hear about it, because through listening to them is how you make that service for them really personal. It's not just another one. It's their one, their loved one. I get very emotional even talking about it. Yeah.
Thanks so much to Delphine for sharing her story. Thousands of children from Kent are swapping the classroom for Thorpe Park to learn about science, technology, engineering, arts and maths. They'll be collecting stamps from educational activities, which they can then swap for access to rides. Companies including Barclays, Microsoft and the RAF are involved in the day to show what careers are available after school. Now, thousands of people have paid tribute to a famous cat from Canterbury who's very sadly died after being knocked down by a car. Former stray Griffin had more than 7,000 followers on socials who followed his adventures around the city. He was struck while on the Uni of Kent campus yesterday. And two kittens found dumped in a cardboard box in Gillingham have been offered a new home. They were discovered by a dog walker at the Great Lions Heritage Park last Thursday. They've been named Eternity and Esther and have been chipped and vaccinated.
Kent Online Sports.
Football first up, and Gillingham are in EFL Trophy action tonight. They're travelling to take on Colchester United. It follows back-to-back defeats in the league for the Gills after a record-breaking run of 21 games unbeaten. Well, I've been chatting to young defender Logan Dobbs, who's currently on loan at Welling, but will be in the Gills side tonight.
Now, you've had a pretty decent 2025. You had promotion when you were at Burgess Hill. You've obviously signed a full-time contract now with Gills. You've been out on loan at Welling, and the goals have started to come in as well. What do you think it is about this year that's worked in your favour? Have you been doing something a bit different with your game? Talk us through it.
It's been the years of finally catching up. I haven't scored in 2 years. So that's about time. I think just learning the game better. Obviously, finally understanding men's football. Last year at Burgess Hill, I didn't score. I was being used as a blocker mostly. Whereas now people actually trust in me, which is good. And I'm just trying to get in the right position.
And after signing your contract in the summer, what's it actually been like to have a run out with the Gills team? Because obviously you're out on loan at the moment. So it must be different, like going and playing for Welling and then coming back and playing for a Gills side. But how much has that meant to you?
Yeah, it means a lot. The standard's very different, as you can tell. But yeah, any chance to play with the first team, it's a very big thing.
So just explain for us, for anyone who's perhaps thinking, how can you play for Welling and then come back and play for Gillingham? Explain how that actually works while you're out on loan at a different club.
So before I signed with Welling, I signed till January on loan. But there's a new rule where you can play cup games instead of being recalled. So you can stay at your loan team and then also play cup games for your home team as well.
And what's it been like as far as training? Because obviously you're having to train with Welling and get to know all of those players, and they've had a few new faces come in whilst you've been there as well. But then you're coming into a completely different team at the Gills, who perhaps you're not training with every single day. How's that been for you?
Yeah, it's been different. Obviously trained today, got used to it all again. But to be honest, when seeing around the building, even though I don't train with them every day, I see them around the building every day. And it's exactly the same as just playing with them, to be honest. Like, personality, everything.
And obviously it was a fantastic goal, and it wasn't a header, it was actually off your foot when you scored. What's the plan for Tuesday night? Would you like to score again? Is that in the forefront of your mind now that you want to get another goal, or are you just focused on your overall performance across the 90 minutes?
To be honest, the goal would be lovely, but the main thing is just winning, getting the team 3 points, and I'll take a clean sheet any day than scoring.
Obviously you haven't been around for the league games, but a couple of results that we weren't hoping for with back-to-back defeats, which is unusual after a run of 21 games unbeaten. does that feed into tomorrow night's game, or are you able to really set that aside because you personally weren't involved with them? That's not in your mind when you're playing.
Even though we're all on loan, we all consider ourselves a part of it, and we've got a big statement for tomorrow. We need to win, and we need to show everyone that we can go back on that run.
Assistant boss Richard Dobson will lead the side again this evening as manager Gareth Ainsworth continues to recover from heart surgery. Kickoff is at 7:45. You can follow the match action at Kent Online, and we'll have full reaction to the result in tomorrow's episode of the podcast. Staying with football, and Kent teams have been finding out who they'll play in the first round proper of the FA Trophy. Sittingbourne will host Cray Valley, while Ashford United head to Rail Bedford. Chatham Town and Folkestone both have away ties. The fixtures in full can be found at Kent Online. To tennis now, and Kent's Emma Raducanu's out of the Wuhan Open after retiring in her first round match against America's Anne Lai. The 22-year-old from Orpington was 6-1, 4-1 down when she decided to withdraw. She'd appeared to struggle with the conditions in China, looking dizzy at points in the second set before taking a medical timeout. And in cricket, Dover's Tammy Beaumont's due in action for England in their second match of the Women's World Cup. They're taking on Bangladesh after thrashing South Africa by 10 wickets in their opening game. Well, that's all from us for today. Thanks ever so much for listening. Don't forget, you can follow us on socials. Plus, you can get details on the top stories direct to your email each morning via the briefing. To sign up to that, just head to kentonline.co.uk. And whilst you're on the website, you can also sign up to Kent Online Premium. Now, that gives you access to content with fewer ads and exclusive stories.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast.